Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Friday, May the 10th, 138th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the Humboldt Bay Fire District, the guy with a new toy, Ken Woods. Hey, guy.
Hey, nice to be here.
Hey, do they let you play on it at all?
No, I don't
get it. Not at all?
I just get to see it go by.
Let you polish it or wash it?
They haven't asked yet, but that's probably coming now that you brought that up.
Oh, good.
So thanks a lot. You know, I appreciate that.
Just the tough spots to reach.
Yeah.
Underneath the chassis, right. Underneath the running boards.
With a toothbrush.
Yeah. Right? Well, you know, if the boss isn't doing the hard lifting, why should they?
I helped build it, so now they get to enjoy the fruits of the labor.
I see. That's the card you're playing.
Yes, it is. No, I just get to see it go by, and proud to see it out there working every day.
Good. Well, you don't want to see it working every day, do you?
Well, that's what we bought it for.
I know. So yes. I know. It's a dual-edged sword here.
It is.
But,
it is.
Yeah, okay.
Not necessarily all fires, but other calls as well.
There you go.
Serving
the
public.
Parades.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. Right.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about fire season. It's coming up. Also, some of the medical aid responsibilities that the fire district has to deal with. We'll kick that around. And I don't know. There was some digging in front of one of the fire stations. Look like plumbing related.
There was some major
talk a little bit about
improvements. Yes.
Infrastructure improvements,
right.
Too, when we come back.
Happy to.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Friedrich von Schiller. He was a German historian.
I never would have gotten the German part, no.
Yeah. But that also says he's a poet.
Oh,
now, this doesn't rhyme, but it's still there. It's poetry. He that's overcautious will accomplish little.
I've found that to be true.
Yeah. So what's been your big accomplishment today?
Getting here on time. Yeah.
Well, now, if you were the city manager in Eureka, yes, I would agree with that.
No, let's see. Today's accomplishments have been many, you know, dealing with budget issues, making progress there, making sure the apparatus on the road.
Is on the road?
Is on the roads, yeah.
Oh, well, you having troubles getting it out of the garage anymore?
No. Okay.
Well, I mean, you're saying these like they're big deals and extraordinary events. Yes, the truck ran this morning. Good.
On the road.
Yeah.
We're out there every day.
Had water inside, too?
They do.
Good.
They
a little bubble bath in there?
No bubble bath. Okay. No.
How tough is it, Ken, to put together a budget? As I think most folks perceive, it's a rollover plus or minus whatever the percentage is that you get from on high or that you somehow think that the market is going to allow.
Yeah. You know, 80% of our costs are employee-related costs that are fixed, insurance, those types of things that are fairly regulated, standard. We don't have a lot of movement on.
Your insurance, you don't have much movement on?
We really don't, no.
Oh, that's right, because the city's self-insured, isn't it?
Well, not on the district side, though, and with the JPA, too. So you add all these components in there. And that is one of the advantages of the JPA as we go forward, is being able to have more autonomy to pick and choose insurance, that type of thing. But, you know, for that other 20% of the budget, deciding what types of things that we need immediately, whether it be the maintenance, the equipment issues, and where we really want to go with customer service and improving service and being able to fit that into the budget. And at the same time, looking at the revenue and how the state is continually looking to take from local government.
I was thinking gelding, but that's okay. No. You're thinking even more aggressive than that,
I was,
huh?
Yeah. More so than that, yeah.
Yeah. When you work in your budget, you guys already have your priorities, don't you, in your long-term plans? Not
we do.
Dollar signs hooked to them.
No.
But you know where you're going.
Exactly. We have our strategic plan. We know where we want to go down the road for a number of years. But at the same time, we're adapting that. You know, the new healthcare initiative that's coming along the beginning of next year is going to be a big impact on how medical care is provided throughout the community. And, of course, 75% of our calls are medical, so that's really going to affect us.
I hadn't even thought about that. So when you guys are responding, you're going to have to respond differently?
Differently. You know, there's going to be hospitals will be looking at patients, how they're reimbursed. We have a lot of patients now that are continually going to the hospital on a regular basis. The healthcare initiative will not reimburse hospitals for those same types of care issues that are continually happening over and over. There's going to be a greater push for community-based paramedic type operations where you call 911. A paramedic may show up at your door and he may decide to give you a couple aspirin instead of sending you to the hospital, or may decide to send you to an urgent care clinic or a county clinic, just a number of different things along those lines. And
so right now you guys don't have that ability?
We don't, no. It's basically our paramedics show up, they provide care, and the individual is transported to the hospital. You can refuse care whatsoever, right. But, you know, the majority of the time, over 90% of the time, they're going to the hospital itself.
So how does liability insurance fit in? That's some dinghy like me showing up and say, two aspirin.
Well,
somebody's bleeding out that night.
Right. And that's huge because there are certain protocols and laws now that, you know, if someone calls 911, they go through a process of screening. But then whether the ambulance shows up, just driving normal speed, whether you get a fire engine with that based on the type. So all those things will need to be looked at and changed, and how we respond will be different going forward.
Can you role play that, or is this just going to be prep, game on, flip the switch?
What's being looked at now is some grant funding through the EMS authorities throughout the state to pilot some programs to see how this is going to play out in select markets. In the rural areas particularly, it has a bigger effect where, you know, you're waiting long periods of time for ambulances. And we're just going to see how this goes forward, really. And this year, as I say, there's some pilot programs will be started, and we'll have to build on till we get to next year.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Just seeing if Damien could dance a little bit there. You notice how I got him to dance?
I noticed. I was surprised. I hadn't seen that before.
Yeah. Oh, he's happy feet because it's Friday. Fine. Okay.
Some of us are working over the weekend.
Yeah. I think all three of us in here are. Oh, looking at some of the different challenges, Ken, the medical aid certainly is one of those, response time, et cetera, et cetera. We've talked a little bit in the past about the infrastructure, and infrastructure for at least Humboldt Bay isn't just the trucks and the hoses and, you know, the turnouts and the cameras and all that stuff. We've heard over the decades about the fire stations themselves.
Mm-hmm.
As you're looking at the budget process,
right,
short term, long term, you just got your big boy toy.
We did.
Okay, cool. How'd you determine that that was more critical than taking the $1 million and having a new fire station?
Yeah. Well, we, you know, look at the immediate need of what's coming up, so the age of our apparatus and the age of our stations, and can we make do? Can we do some modifications to the existing facilities to extend their feasibility, which we did on the district side, the station across from Redwood Acres. We, instead of tearing it down, building a new station that was built in 57, needed some improvements.
Just a spring chicken, baby.
Yeah, just a kid. Yeah. But we decided to remodel it so we could take, and we just added a second story, and it was very cost effective for us to do that. When you're looking at apparatus, though, and not only, you know, think of your own personal vehicle, and you might be an exception, but, you know, how many of you have vehicles on the road that were built in 1977? So the ladder truck we replaced was built in 77, was tired, old, couldn't get up hills in town, was not an effective piece of apparatus for us to do our job.
Picking on the old guys again,
yeah,
aren't
I'm
you?
Sorry,
yeah.
Well, I'm in that boat. But, you know, it was really what was the greater need? And we pinpointed that it was replacing that aerial truck. And because of that, then we went out for a grant. We were very successful in obtaining a federal grant to help us replace that apparatus. And we're much more efficient now running a brand new piece of equipment that is quicker, more reliable, faster, fuel efficient, all those things, than, again, in 1977.
The two stations that are in most need of repair, or what at least appear to be most need of repair, can you go up? Can you go out on those? Because I know they're kind of landlocked, but there's a lot of space on top.
They are. Those two would be the one on Ocean and the one on Myrtle. Those are the same vintage, 57. We've got a number of problems that we've been band-aiding in each one of those. So we just repaired some plumbing lines. The roofs are both asbestos. We're breaking roof tiles. We're leaking. And you can't just go in and replace things on those. In that case, it really becomes a situation where you look to replace the whole entire facility. The other issue is with new fire apparatus, with the new emission controls, the apparatus are getting taller and taller, and they won't fit into the older stations. And that's a real concern when you buy a piece of apparatus. You spend $500,000, or in the case of the ladder truck, $1 million. You want to make sure it fits in the station. And having those old stations becomes a challenge then.
So considering the financial condition of the community, seeing what the needs are, the fact that the two have merged, the two entities, does it make sense to keep the stations you have, or like the one on Pine Hill?
Right.
Okay, blow that one out, make that a little bit bigger, badder. Maybe it's not quite as quick, but it almost serves like the one at Ocean.
Right.
Is that in
Yeah, and that's part of
point?
You know, standards responsive coverage. How long does it take us to get from each station? How well are we covering areas? And right now, that station particularly is in a good area to cover the south. Our busiest station is the one on Ocean. That out of all five stations, that's the busiest. Probably the one that is not as well placed currently is the one on Myrtle, because you have the one at Redwood Acres and you have the one right downtown on C Street.
Well, and things have changed in the 50 years since it was sited there.
That's very true, as the district has expanded, as the city's moved out. And so those are the kind of things we look at, our response times and how they equate to our coverage, and really then determining where we're going to go in the future. Again, as the district continues to expand out with more building in the district side, really, than the city, and hopefully with the economy, we'll pick up and we'll see more of that going forward. But how do we cover then? What's the best deployment of our resources? And potentially, maybe, you know, closing a station, moving a station, moving just a company. So you move an engine to another station and you run two out of there to be more effective. A lot of options that we are continually looking at.
That's more of management.
It is.
Stuff.
It is.
Is there a thought, or has there been a thought, with the training facility, and I'll put that one loosely in quotes, that is down off of Broadway, to put a station there? Because I would think a lot of your run is run on Broadway.
It is. When you put it, though, right against the water, though, then we're always going one direction. So instead of being in the middle of a potential district, you've now put it at the end of one. So that creates issues. There are a lot of calls out of that station, though, and that's why we're in the same area.
KINS News and Information Times, 3:30.
May is Mattress Month, and where do more of your friends buy mattresses? Vern's Furniture. Take advantage of competitive pricing on the new Serta iComfort mattresses, the latest in sleep comfort with cool memory foam. Or save up to 50% on closeout mattress models from Englander. Save on Serta Perfect Sleeper mattresses, and choose 18 months no interest financing on the mattress set of your choice at Vern's Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka. Now's the time to buy during Mattress Month at Vern's.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods. We keep coming up with all these wonderful ideas during the commercial breaks that probably should never be seen the light of day.
That's why it's during the break.
Yeah. Oh, my. Just too much fun stuff. Fire season. We're at the ragged edge of 80%. Of the rainfall.
Mm-hmm.
It's come in differently this year than what it has in the past years.
Right.
Is that a concern for you, or is it still just kind of a wait and see?
No, it's a definite big concern, as we saw last week, particularly with not only the fire in Southern California, the spring fire in Ventura, but also the fire in Butte County, the Panther Fire. And I was at a meeting yesterday with a number of fire chiefs down in the Bay Area, and the consensus was they haven't seen it like this for, 2008 with a bad year, but before that was in the 90s with the...
Oh, we're not going back to La Nina or El Nino yet.
Yeah, huh? The level of fire hazard and danger that exists right now, we're usually, a month to 2 months down the road further than April, May. So it's a huge concern for us, particularly when we're sending our units out to other areas of the state. We sent an engine down to the Bay Area with this last one, and we sent one east to cover Cal Fire, but they were up in this Smith River area with lightning fires there. So it's much earlier, and we're just anticipating a long fire season.
So how do you hedge for that, or can you?
Well, for us being municipal department, we don't so much. Cal Fire, obviously.
I see leaning on the city all of a sudden pretty hard there. Okay.
Cal Fire more so. It's kind of caught them in this area. They wait a little longer to do their seasonal hiring, and they've been forced to move that up. And they're now, you know, training people rapidly and getting those stations staffed that they don't have during the winter. And that's been taking place all over the state. But the initial fires that we had a week or so ago, the two that I mentioned, really required a lot of resources, burned very quickly, a lot of acreage, and were a quick wake up that we need to get out there and we need to really mobilize and just prepare that it's going to be a rough year. For us here locally, you know, we staff a little bit different with our apparatus. We'll put our wildland apparatus in service more of the time. Train more, focus on wildland issues, progressive hose lays, structure protection, a number of different types of tactical related functions that we won't do in the wintertime, but we will normally start focusing on now, but we're already there. We got to be up to speed.
Can you really train for that stuff, Ken, in the city environment?
Yeah, there's plenty of opportunities. The wildland urban interface, what we call, where homes are up against the forest. We have opportunities for that in the Cutton area, particularly where you have homes that back right up to the forest. And
so you use like Winship or something like that?
Yeah, kind we of can go out there, Elk River area particularly as well, where we're practicing, again, putting in long hose lays, several hundred feet of hose, where you won't be able to reach the fire right from the road like you normally would, but you'll have to put in hose lays to get back to it. Structure protection, protecting the house as a fire moves up to it, and really just allowing the fire to go around it, but you're protecting those structures and that property out there. Again, just a number of different types of tactics that we wouldn't normally use in the winter, but we plug them back in come fire season.
Obviously, it's not muscle memory, but can you guys get to that routine point where, okay, and we're off to the races without having to spend a lot of time thinking about it?
Yeah, there's initial ramp-up time to do that. And, you know, you do have certain pieces of equipment, the smaller type of hose, the different types of clothing we wear that are much lighter for wildlands-type fires than the structural firefighting with the air packs and the heavy turnouts. So, again, it takes a little bit of time to ramp up to that, put those things back on, pull them out, get familiar with them again, and then the muscle memory really kicks in. And when the call comes in, the troops are very efficient at getting out there and putting it to work with the right tools.
It's always been curious to me. You're training for left, and here comes right. So you're training for a while, and boom, and then you got something downtown.
Something different, right.
Completely different.
Yeah.
Is that a learned skill set to be able to, I wouldn't say flip-flop, but kind of flip-flop?
It is, and it can be a struggle at times, but when you think of the different services that we are asked to provide, whether it's, you know, fire, whether it's medical, whether it's urban search and rescue with a potential earthquake, whether it's a water rescue that may come in on the bay, whether it's a hazardous material spill, we really have jack of all trades, and that's just part of the people that we are hiring and the people that we're looking for that can adapt easily and function in all those different types of environments.
KINS News and Information Times 341. We'll be back with more from Ken Evans.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 345. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Chief Ken Woods. Ken, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there that are the reality of your fire department right now,
mm-hmm.
Is there anything other than the infrastructure we've already talked about that really kind of get you scratching your head a little bit and going, you know, we have to focus on, don't know how we're going to get it done,
yeah.
but we really have to start laying in some plans for this.
Well, for now that we're JPA, and particularly our funding source with Measure O in the city, and that sunsets in a couple years, we're very cognizant of that, and that we need to be good stewards of the funds that we've already been given, and we've really, I think, improved our services over the last couple years, and particularly with our consolidation, we're saving money there. But that's a big concern going forward, is that we are able to maintain the revenue to be able to provide all those different types of services that I mentioned earlier. And with the state taking money, with the county in the situation with therein, with you know, realignment, all that types of thing. It's limited funds out there. And going forward, again, how to be the best stewards of the money that we receive, but also try to plan ahead and think, you know, the state's not going to be throwing any money our way anytime soon. And then how do we come up with new revenue streams? How do we go out? We've been very successful with grant funding for our apparatus, for medical equipment, for things like that. And how do we position ourselves to continue to be effective in those areas and provide the highest level of service that we can?
Other communities have to be in the same situation, whether it's in the state or right. elsewhere.
Right.
Are there creative ways to do things, or is everybody kind of slugging out the same way and everybody kind of in the same mindset?
I think you see, you know, there are creative things, some that are successful, some that aren't. A few years back, one of the big things in the fire service was to charge for particular services. So if you had a visitor come into town and he got in a vehicle accident, you charge their insurance company for the accident and responding to that. I think those were looked at as the golden calf in some ways in the past, and they haven't materialized. They haven't happened. For us, it's, you know, being responsive to the services and the money that we need to justify what we're doing, but we're really relying on the public as well in a lot of ways to tell us the services that they want us to provide. Medicals is, again, 75% of our calls. We get there faster than anybody else. We can provide immediate medical care. And, you know, with it, again, mentioned the new healthcare initiative, how that's going to play into how we respond, how we receive reimbursement. We know we can provide an effective service. At what level does the community want us to? And I'm not really interested in chasing, you know, some of these untrue, tried ideas that may be out there on a whim. I want to see them materialize and be effective before we take the time to implement them and put them in place.
So how do you test it?
I think you test it by looking at your neighbors and seeing what they're doing, by communicating. You know, we communicate with our fire service partners, not only here in Humboldt County, but around the state. I'm involved with Cal Chiefs, which is all over California. We have an assistant chief right now, Bill Gillespie, who's back at the National Fire Academy, who's interacting with chiefs around the country. And you really see then what is going on and what works and what doesn't work. I don't like to reinvent the wheel of productive things that are already out there. And if we can find something that's effective, that's working, and transfer it here, put it into place, then I think we're being effective and we're being efficient.
Yeah, and you want to have the two together.
Exactly.
I found that to be the case. Yeah.
Yes, you do.
It was John Wooden had a great line, the difference between effective and efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Efficient is doing it right. Effective mm-hmm. is doing the right things right.
The right things.
Yeah.
Exactly.
yeah.
Right.
Significant difference on
big
now
difference.
That plays out.
Yep.
Yeah.
yeah. Huge.
So pretty much pay attention to what's going on. Don't play around with fire too much.
right.
In yeah. the next little bit.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not seeing anything about water shortages at this point, though.
We are not here. No. No. We're in good shape here.
Well, that's all that matters, because that's where we are, right?
Well, if we could send it off and make a little, then we'll see.
Well, that would be dandy, too. We'll work on that one for next month.
Okay, you work on that.
Thanks for coming by, Ken.
Thank you.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Until then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.